Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. All right, a lot of stuff happening this week, Kyle. What you got any big stories that you're itching to lead off with?
Well, the biggest one was what I saw this morning when I was just preparing. There's a new SEC rule that's going to end up changing who can invest in certain securities. And this is the one thing that I was most concerned about when we were talking about that financial services hearing.
Yes.
And it looks like that might be kind of exactly what's happening. It should only affect OTC market stocks, but it's basically going to, let me read the quote here. Companies that trade in the OTC market will be held to a stricter disclosure standard that prohibits broker-dealers from publicly quoting securities that fail to maintain current information. So that would end up pushing like the pink market. I think there's three classes of OTCs. Pink is like the lowest. It's going to end up pushing them into the unregulated gray market, it says. I wasn't familiar with the gray market term before, but sounds like that's something that retail just won't have access to. But institutions, hedge funds, all other shit will still get to trade that. And you know how I feel about anything that limits retail. I want access to all the same shit that everyone else gets access to.
What? Even if you make a mistake and lose money, Kyle?
Yeah. I don't think the government needs to be protecting us. Like, I want to be free to make my own mistakes. Because guess what? You learn shit when you make mistakes.
You know, what's interesting to me is in business classes, they call this barriers of entry.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you were thinking about it, the investment, state of the investing world as a business, then all they're doing is they're putting up barriers of entry to keep retail investors from playing the same game.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy for us. That's a move designed to keep the people who are winning the game and keep other people from playing it. I don't think that's with it. That's in our best interests at all.
No. And I think you can label these things as riskier. The shit's not maintained up to date. But I think some of the stuff that we've looked at, like, they may be up to date on, like, the Canadian market, but not necessarily in the U.S. market. Is that going to delist those guys, too?
Right.
Like, I can still find the information if I know where to look. Just because it's not up to date with the SEC, and now suddenly I can't invest in it. Like, I don't know, that just pisses me off.
It's frustrating because when a company is over the counter and they manage to get listed, that's a big win for any of those investors that were buying those shares when it was over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pushing us out of a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's a ton of over the counter stocks that are going to go nowhere and you'll lose some money. That's why you got to do your research and believe in the company. But there are plenty that are just fresh new companies trying to get their foothold and get moving, and then they make it, and then they get listed, and it's onward and upward. And I don't want to miss out. I don't want to be told that, oh, you're a retail investor, you don't have $1 million in licensed financial
right
qualifications, and fuck you.
Yeah, especially if you're only investing like 5,000. Like one of the sites that I was looking at where you can like sponsor video games and get like a cut of the profits. Mm-hmm. Like that sounds like a fantastic thing. But you got to be accredited in order to do that, even though like the minimum investing amount is like, you know, $10,000 blocks. Like, I've got $10,000 to go throw into a game that I firmly believe is going to be successful.
Right.
But nope, somebody's got to protect me.
Not allowed.
No bulls allowed.
No bulls allowed.
Anyway, that's my big one that I wanted to vent about. So,
well, it really seems to me like the FTC is really on a ball. I was just reading about how 7-Eleven purchased the chain of Speedway gas stations,
mm-hmm.
which really, in Tucson, they appeared about a year ago. Like, almost overnight, Speedway came in and they bought up, like, 30 gas stations around town. And,
okay.
And,
yeah, I think I'm familiar with them, yeah.
7-Eleven has been in the process of acquiring them.
Mm-hmm.
For months, you know, they've got to file a lot of stuff. The deal went through on Friday,
okay.
The 14th. They added 7-Eleven added 3,800 Speedway stores in 36 states, and then as soon as it finished, the FTC came out and said they have reasons to believe the transaction was unlawful.
What?
And 7-Eleven issued a statement back, said it had negotiated a settlement with FTC staffers and thought it had a deal in place to address the competitive concerns because it divested like 300 stores.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, that's all. I mean, they have to go through and get clearance for some of these deals to go through. So the SEC gave them clearance to go ahead with it and then came back after the fact and said, no, you can't.
As soon as it was done. Yes.
That sounds fucked up.
Yeah. Rebecca Kelly Slaughter and Commissioner Rohit Chopra both said they thought the transaction is illegal and raises significant competitive concerns in hundreds of local retail gasoline and diesel fuel markets across the country. The FTC, they said, has spent significant resources investigating this transaction, but hasn't yet come to an agreement with the parties and a majority of the commission that would fully resolve the competitive concerns. Their decision to close the deal was highly unusual, and we're extremely troubled by it. So
what?
We'll see what happens. But it's just strange to me that they would say that this is anti-competitive, because 7-Eleven and Speedway are not the only gas stations in town.
No, you've got BP over where you're at. You got the QT.
Circle K, Chevron.
Fast Trip, yes. Exxon.
Arco AMPM.
There's fucking gas stations everywhere.
Yeah, it's so crazy. There's a corner in Tucson where the Circle K across from a Circle K. You want to talk about competitive advantage?
Oh, that's nuts.
Did we get a new Twitter poll?
That'd be my question. Are people happy with the I don't know, with that, not the results, the people happy with the actions that the SEC has been taking? I don't know what the answers would be. Yes, they're doing a good job. They're not doing nearly enough. Fuck the SEC.
Yeah, are you satisfied with the SEC's handling of...
Are you satisfied with the SEC's handling of... Are you just happy with the job they've done so far? Are you happy with the job the SEC's done so far since Gary Gensler's taken over?
Yes, no, undecided, fuck the SEC. Yeah, worthless paid garbage.
SEC's worthless. Yes, no, too early to tell, and SEC's, fuck the SEC. Yeah, basically, the SEC's doing nothing. SEC's a joke. There we go. SEC's a joke.
There you go. All right.
All right, that'll work.
Yeah, so yeah, FTC's really, really on fire this week.
Man, you're fucking nailing the segues today. Didn't you have something, too, about gas?
Oh, yeah. The Colonial Pipeline that got hacked and shut down has caused some supply issues on the East Coast. People started hoarding gasoline.
Did it have any effect on the actual companies, you know, that trade? Did anybody see a boost in price that wasn't affiliated with or affected by them?
Not that I came across. Not that I came across.
It looked like EPD Enterprise Products, one of the stocks that I've held for a long time, I think it got a little bit of a boost, but it's hard to tell. They're another pipeline company, and they service most of the Southeast, I think.
I don't know if gas prices were going up because of the supply shortage, but I do know that people were panic buying gasoline,
mm-hmm.
putting it in plastic bags and like water bottles and shit, which is not safe.
I'm pretty sure I remember using gasoline to melt plastic. Kind of makes like a burnable napalm.
Yeah. Kids, if you're listening.
No.
Styrofoam.
No. I'm going to have to flag this episode with a special disclaimer.
We are not anarchists. We do not prescribe the making of napalm at home.
That was years ago. Yeah, I saw a picture on I think on Twitter of like somebody with like 10 garbage bags in the back of their SUV like filled with gasoline. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? How did that not burst?
Well, Kyle, there were two incidents of cars exploding into flames because people filled their trunk with gasoline.
Oh my god.
And not good containers. But the thing that made me really crack up was the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody started panic buying gasoline. In fact, one of the accidents was in Florida. Lady filled the back of her car.
That's not shocking.
Yeah. And she had filled up the back of her car, and she had stolen license plates. So the cops tried to pull her over, and she ran and then wrecked her car, and it exploded into a giant fireball. No sympathy for her. But the thing that's hilarious about it, Kyle, Florida's not even supplied by the Colonial Pipeline.
Right.
They get their gas from tankers. There was no shortage in Florida, but there was a shortage in Florida because everybody bought the gas, and gas stations can only hold so much gas at a time. So Florida caused its own gas shortage by panicking.
Wow. I was shocked to see just how polite this ransom company, well, I mean, what are they called? The group is called DarkSide.
Yeah.
They actually issued an apology for the social disturbance that they caused. Here's the quote from their statement. We are apolitical. We do not participate in geopolitics. Do not need to tie us with the defined government and look for our motives. What? That doesn't make any sense. From today, we will introduce moderation and check each company that our partners want to encrypt to avoid social consequences in the future. Another thing that I was seeing too, which...
Wait, that they're partners?
Yeah, I'm sure people hire them in order to do this. It's all dark web bullshit.
Wow.
Yeah, so they apologize for causing social consequences, and now they're gonna do a little more due diligence when they're picking their targets to make sure that they don't cause problems for the normal people. It's very nice of you pirates. Right. Pirates with
what
the code.
A gentleman pirate.
The other thing I found really interesting was, I don't know if it was something I saw on Twitter or if it was an actual article. I couldn't find it this morning, looking for it again, but something saying that their customer service was like better than most companies.
Hi, this is DarkSide Hacking. You have a problem with one of our hack jobs today?
Let's see here. A little note here on their code of conduct. They will not extort hospitals, funeral homes, nonprofits. They do target large corporations and sometimes donate proceeds to charities. And apparently the charities will return the money.
Wait, so this hacking group actually has a mission statement? Like it's a fucking business? Wow.
It sounds like an actual company. Yeah, with the fucking HR department, right? And everything.
We here at DarkSide Hacking stand by our corporate values.
Yeah, with hold music and everything.
What a weird, weird time to be alive.
Yeah. Well, the last story that I had that I want to... It's kind of transitions a little bit. Electric vehicles. Elon Musk apparently decided to suspend plans to accept cryptocurrencies as payments for his electric vehicles. But they did not sell their Bitcoin. They're still holding their Bitcoin. He used just... let's see his quote here. We are concerned about rapidly increasing use of fossil fuels for Bitcoin mining and transactions, especially coal, which has the worst emissions of any fuel, Musk said. Cryptocurrency is a good idea on many levels, and we believe it has a promising future, but this cannot come at great cost to the environment. So after he made these statements and then suspended using cryptocurrencies to pay for his, you know, Teslas, Bitcoin was down about 12%, below 50,000 again. Other digital coins followed. Ethereum, I think, lost about 14%, and Dogecoin lost about 20%. But Dogecoin might have gained it back, because I think he posted a poll about asking whether they should accept Dogecoin or not. Musk is just kind of, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, did you watch his Saturday Night Live?
I watched the skit when he called the crypto or Dogecoin a hustle, basically, when he's trying to explain, yes. What is it?
Michael Che's like, so it's a hustle. Yeah, it's a hustle.
I actually thought that was a great, great little bit.
You know, he started that episode by saying he was the first host on Saturday Night Live to have Asperger's, or the first host to admit it.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I did not know he had Asperger's.
I'm not surprised, but yeah, I didn't know that was the case either. I did see there was some outrage at him using Asperger's, because that's not the technical definition or the name of the symptom, or goddamn it, what do you call it?
Oh Lord.
Yeah, because apparently a Nazi came up with that, so it's some other name that they want to use.
Are we saying it's a good thing to have?
No, I think they're just saying it's a bad thing to give a Nazi credit for coining a name for it.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if we start calling cancer Hitler, I won't have a problem.
Probably cut
Hitler
all that
killed
too.
My mom.
Why are you laughing?
Oh, I'm not cutting that. That's gold.
I found it interesting, though, that they didn't address any, like, the impact that, like, making the Teslas have, like, between, you know, the impact of the batteries and then the electricity that's used to charge them. A lot of that comes from coal infrastructure, too.
Yeah, not everybody's got their solar panels all set up to charge their Teslas. Yeah. Tell you that right now.
And plus, aren't a lot of Bitcoin miners using solar or renewable energies to mine?
From what I understand, they're using whatever they can get. We remember when we did that call with Sean.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how the Bitcoin mining operations are setting up shop like right next to the hydroelectric dam.
Right. And,
you know, like as close to the power generation centers as possible. So I imagine it's different companies and it's next to any power source.
Yeah, probably.
Big solar farm, sure. Big wind farm, sure. Hydroelectric dam, sure. Coal plant, sure.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2BullsInAChinaShop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network, blah, 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 blah. You know what to do.